His name is Hallelujah. His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Lord.
I believe it's a sort of continuation, really, on the last few teachings that I've given with regard to faith. I believe the Holy Spirit is really getting our attention again in this area. And in many ways, it's a follow-on. And the title today for this teaching is Faith Has to Be Revealed and Used Daily. Faith has to be revealed and used daily. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your blessing and the blood of the Lamb over this word and the seed of this word into our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Faith has to be revealed and used daily. I think there is one thing we are learning with our walk of faith, that everything flows from God. Life flows from Him. He is the giver of life. Without God, we don't even exist. And the scriptures also tell us that He is the author and finisher of our faith. And we are learning that faith comes by hearing. It is hearing what our Father is saying to us. And part of that hearing, or the idea of that hearing, is revelation. In other words, flesh and blood, people in the world do not hear and believe what you do. And the reason being is, it has not been given to them. But it has been given to you, it has been given to me. And we are abundantly blessed above all words. And I want us to remember that and bear that in mind as we look at this evening. And we're going to base our teaching from something very, very familiar we know in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 11 to 13. Hebrews chapter 4, 11 to 13. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So we clearly are shown the hindrance to faith, the hindrance to that rest, which means when you're resting, that means that you are believing, you are in faith, you are hearing God, you are touching God. And what breaks that is disobedience. Absolutely clear. And he goes on in verse 12, for the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, of him to whom we must give account. Faith has to be revealed and used daily. That's what we're going to look at tonight. You see, God revealed to Israel his word. He revealed himself. He revealed his word, and he was expecting Israel to believe what he said. He was expecting Israel to believe that he changes not and that what he decrees will come to pass. God is not a God that lies. He was trying to get their faith, their trust, everything and more, to get them to walk by faith. But their greatest problem was they didn't always believe. And when you don't always believe or trust, you're going to disobey. If you're in a relationship with someone and you don't have that trust, that respect, then you are going to go contrary to that relationship sooner or later. There will be things within that relationship that you will not be able to do or go that extra mile with that person because you're not quite sure. You don't trust them. There's a fear, a suspicion. Now, all of that sounds very familiar to us because we have all experienced that. But that should not be with Almighty God. On the contrary. And God has to work with us and deliver us from these experiences that we've had in the world and through people and so on. He has to work with us and reveal himself to us that he is faithful and just and true to what he says and what he reveals of himself. And it takes time. We don't get it immediately. We all of us, when we embraced and began to hear the faith and the deeper life, oh, what we were going to do was nobody's business. I will walk by faith, I will trust you from now on, and so on. And then God has to begin to work with us and to show us what walking by faith is really all about. And much of this walk of faith comes out of relationship. It comes out of a total trust and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that is worked into our very soul and fibre and being, we find then that we want to obey God. As I said in verse 11 is the problem to faith. That disobedience, it hinders. It causes us to stop in our tracks. Disobedience will always question some part of the Lord in some way or form. That's the nature of it. And God wanted Israel, as we know, to learn this. And they walked some 40 years, and at the end of it, they still revealed what was in their heart at the time of trial and test. When they're just about to enter the promised land, they listen to the negative confessions. They listen to those who were not really trusting and believing the Lord. And what they're hearing is that, yes, there is a land of promise. There's a land of plenty. But there's also something else that's wrong with that land. There's giants. There's enemies. And that's enough. And that's all that had to be said to cause them to start to riot and to confess a wrong confession. And as a result of their confession, God gave them over to that confession. And the scriptures are absolutely clear, they perished in the wilderness. Other than Joshua and Caleb, who were of another spirit and another confession. They revealed, even though the giants were there, they had their trust and faith in Almighty God and Him alone, and that it was nothing to Him. There is the difference. And Israel's history and warning is a warning to the contemporary church of these last days. It doesn't change. Unbelief doesn't change. The enemy's tactics don't change. And God all the while is trying to reveal Himself to us as the faithful one. And this is why He's getting us to walk by faith and not by sight. God was revealing to Israel the power of His word. We get an indication of this in Psalm 147, verses 15 to 20. Psalm 147, 15 to 20. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. So the psalmist is absolutely clear. God dealt with Israel like no other nation. No other nation had the revelation of Yahweh like Israel had. The rest of the nations were blinded. And that same principle stands today. Your eyes have been opened, and most whom you have encountered today, whether it be at work or out in the streets or at the shops or wherever it will be, most you have encountered do not see like you see. And you see for one purpose, that you walk by faith and not by sight. That is why God opens our eyes and ears and heart. The object of our faith is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That is why we keep our eyes solely, completely upon him. As he said in 6:33 of Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking what? The kingdom. What pertains to the kingdom. That is why he gave the great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying into our lives what pertains to the kingdom of God as we start to enter in even now in this life by faith. And that is why we preach faith and the deeper life, for that very purpose, that you can enter into this and go as deep and as far as you want. And so God was revealing through this psalm, Psalm 147, the power of his word. He revealed to Isaiah, and Isaiah was given a mouth like a sharp sword, he says. What is this? The word of God. Because we're told in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's hearing it. It's not enough just to read it. Your reading the word of God causes you to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. This is why faith is a revelation. It's not just reciting it and just simply speaking it. Or just saying, well, I'll confess it 100 times and on the 100th time, I'll receive what I'm believing for. That's not how it works. It is revealed to us by the Spirit, because we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Those that worship God in spirit and in truth. And many believers don't fully understand this. And that is why there is so much flesh, works of the flesh. Israel was bound in the flesh through her disobedience. And as God reveals himself to us, as he reveals his nature, his heart to us, that is what causes us to turn away from disobeying him. He knows what we are in nature. He knows we're disobedient. When God saved you and I, he took all our baggage with us. And he's made no mistake over you or I. He knows what he's doing. That is why so often God receives the unlovable in this life, what the world rejects and doesn't want. That's why so often to the world we look foolish, ridiculous. But that is the wisdom and the mind of Almighty God. Why? So that you can walk by faith and not by sight. And that is why we see that the word affects our whole being. We've read it to you back in Hebrews chapter 4, 11 to 13. In verse 12, look at what the word of God does. For the word of God is living, so it is not dead, it is alive. It is living, it is alive today, this moment, this second. We serve the God of the now, this moment. The rest is history. So the word of God is living. Not only that, but it's powerful. Here it is, that Greek word again, dunamis. That very same word that raised Christ from the dead, that raised him up into glory. That same power is in the word of God. And that same power is working in you and I. For what purpose? To believe, to trust him. So it is, the word of God is living and powerful. And not only that, but it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So the sharpest of sword that you could ever think, it's even sharper than that. For what purpose? So that it can pierce even to the division of soul, spirit, joints, marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God affects our whole being, our soul, our spirit, the body, the heart. That is what it does. And when we are under the unction of the anointing of God's word, you are never the same. That is why I'm such a believer when we come together under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should go away never the same as when we arrived. Why? Because we've met with the Lord and his word has done that work in my heart, in my life, in my being. That is why I'm a great believer that the word of God is also to make us whole in mind, body and spirit. I always pray this for the saints who get under the word, that they will experience this. It's vital in these last days. But there's also something that's required in this, as we know so well. God requires us to mix faith with that which we hear. And verse 2 is absolutely clear on this. In chapter 4 of Hebrews, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And there is so much of the problem. We can hear it, but we don't mix faith with it. And that is absolutely vital that we do. We have to learn, brothers and sisters, that we stand and we walk by faith each day. And some days we feel spiritual and that we're walking by faith, and other days somehow we just sort of forget it. But Romans 11 verse 20 says, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. You stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. That is the fear of God. He's speaking about Israel that failed, you know, her history again. And the Apostle Paul is speaking of this in connection to the fact that though Israel rejected God, She's not totally rejected. She's not totally cast off. She will be restored. In other words, what he's saying here is here, she will stand by faith. God will do it. He will work it. And again, that will be a miracle. And that's why it says to you and I, you stand by faith. And it isn't going to change. Your circumstances are not going to change it. You can't change God. That is how we stand. He has saved us for that very purpose. Now, God would not save you or I if we could not stand by faith. Be well assured in that. That's why God has made no mistake. He has saved you, he has saved me, and he says, I can walk by faith. I'm talking about a total faith. Now, either you believe that, you want that, or you don't. Because in order to do that, we've got to let God deal with us where we're still disobedient to him. Because that is the biggest hindrance to faith and standing by faith. And that is why Israel didn't enter in, because of her unbelief. Hebrews 3 and verse 20. I've got that scripture wrong. I'm sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now all of these scriptures we know so very, very well. They're nothing new to us, but we do need to hear them. Why? Because they are sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is still piercing, he is still dividing, he's still dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow. He's still discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's still challenging us. So in other words, he says, I'm challenging your thoughts, I'm challenging the intent of your heart. In other words, I'm challenging the motive of your heart. Because God is making our hearts clean before him. That is why he circumcises the heart. And he does it by the sword of the Spirit, by his word. Because faith is a holy faith. And there's sadly a lot today who don't always preach a holy faith. It's a faith that's motivated by self, by greed, what I want. Our faith is motivated by the love of God, and that is why we walk by faith. Now, as the title says, faith has to be revealed and used daily. The challenge is that our faith is used daily. That's the walk, and that can be the problem. How do we know we're in faith unless faith is seen? How do we know? Anybody can talk about faith. So God places us in a faith walk, and he places us in that faith walk to see how we're going to walk. Whether we're going to walk by faith, desire to walk by faith, or we're going to allow the giants to defeat us and cause us to compromise and turn back, because that's what they do. That's the nature of a giant. That's the nature of the lion, the enemy who growls. And he only has to make a noise, and that is enough to turn back. And that was exactly the same with the children of Israel, and there are times that you do it as well. Well, we're going to look at some areas where we trust that this will bring deliverance to our life and walk. And firstly, in this, our walk of faith often has to be between you and God. Your walk of faith is between you and God. And there are times when we've turned to the arm of the flesh, or we've turned to get answers, to only find that there's confusion, conflict, no nearer to trusting, believing. Why? Because our faith walk is between you and God. That's why. In other words, it's hearing from God. It's acting on what you know and you understand from his word. That's why faith comes by hearing the word of God. Your faith is between you and God. It is God who speaks to you. That is why he says you do not need man that he should teach you. In other words, you don't need to keep running to man for your faith. Your faith comes from Almighty God as you put your ear to his word and what the Spirit says to the church. And so often we make this mistake. We're looking to man. We're looking to a ministry. That church or that minister is an idol in my life. Oh, you know, churches are filled with professing believers who have that problem, who are so dependent on their church, who are so dependent on their minister or their elder or the group that they're in, or the preacher or the teacher or whatever it is. The only reason they go to that church is because of all of that. And God is left out of the equation. Why? Because they don't have a relationship with the Lord. And they certainly don't walk in faith. Our faith walk is between you and God. And any minister that is called of God, his ministry is always, always to present God's people to Jesus and him alone. That is always the nature of the ministry. That is how you discern those ministries. For the purpose that you hear from him, that your faith comes from him. And whatever man would be saying to you, whatever I am saying to you tonight, is simply a confirmation. Because sometimes we do need confirmation. That is where we test the Spirit, 1 John 4. We test the Spirit because it is confirming what I'm hearing from God. How God is touching my life, how he's communicating to me, what he is saying. That is why we say so often, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. That's what it's about. That is what your faith feeds upon. Your faith cannot rely upon a minister, as anointed as he may be, preaching faith, unless that preaching leads you to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it stops with man, then you are believing man and not God. And there's the problem. That's the problems that we have today so much in Christendom. There's the idolatry. Same problem that Israel had. See, human nature doesn't change. The enemy doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. So there is the first big test that we have to know that I am hearing from God. My walk of faith is between me and God, first and foremost. Well, secondly, faith has to remove unbelief. And we have to be honest with those areas of unbelief. We have to stop being in denial in those areas of unbelief and be honest and open and humble. And very often, some of the biggest hindrances to our faith can come from our spouse, wife or husband, family. Often it can be found in the family and friends who oppose your faith, your stand of faith, and will fight against it, will even emotionally blackmail you, and so on. And so we meet these oppositions, and it's easier just to pretend, to sweep it under the carpet, to be in denial. It'll probably change tomorrow. It'll probably change in 2 months' time. That's what that does, but it never does. And you find after 5 years, it's no different. After 10 years, it's no different. And that's just being the mercy of God, having patience with us. Because we're not going to the root of unbelief. We're not dealing with it as we should. How many of us have compromised because of the pressures they put on us? We've all done it. The problem is that if we just still keep doing it and doing it, we no longer have that conviction anymore. We no longer can hear or discern anymore. The sharpness of that sword isn't dividing as it should. What are these that I'm speaking about? They're giants. That's what I'm talking about. But we're well able to take the giants of the land. Jesus has overcome. He's overcome all things. He's given you power over the enemy. And you see, there are some things that we're not taking seriously in prayer and warfare before the Lord. And very often, I'm sorry to have to say it, but it's right in your family you need to do that warfare. Because they will stop you. They will stop you trusting the Lord. They want you to go to the arm of the flesh and trust in the arm of the flesh, just like they do. We are finding the arm of the flesh is failing. Why are we not discerning the signs and the times? Why are we not looking at the spiritual weather? The arm of the flesh is going to fail. Finances, banks, economy is going to fail. And all with that, medical science will also fail. But all those things that we still look to and rely upon, they're going to fail. That is why, brothers and sisters, we must be busy building that spiritual ark, obeying God. Because that spiritual ark, this message of the deeper life, is going to save us in these last days from the flood of judgments that are coming upon the earth. Why are we ignoring these signs? We do it at our own peril. And this is why we have to call upon God's grace and mercy to help us, to keep us watchful and alert, and to help us not to compromise in these last days. Well, thirdly, the world's pressures and unbelief is because we are too involved with it. Because we get so involved with the world and its pressures, its unbelief, we begin to listen to its logic and its human wisdom, and we take it on board, and then we become confused. We can't fully hear what God is saying. The world has many, many pressures. It's steeped in unbelief and rebellion. And yet we find we want to get involved with it. And we want to listen to its wisdom and so on. Why? Only this morning, probably some of you heard it on the news. Guess what? We can now eat bacon. We can now eat sausages. We can now eat processed food. They've now found that it doesn't cause that cancer or problems that they were telling us. Yet how many of us took that on board and believed it? A lot of us did, and we do. Why cannot we take it more serious that God is concerned what's eating in at us and eating our minds? That's what we should be consumed about and concerned about, not these lies that are propagated. There are demons behind so much of this. This not eating bacon and sausages and whatever could cause cancer. It's done its work. Because there were demons of cancer behind that. And people who've taken that on board have taken the cancer, the lies to it. The enemy is so subtle. There is a demon behind every lie, waiting to oppress, to get in. That's their nature. And do you know what? So many Christians take it all on board. Do you know why? Because they don't know the word of God. They're not hearing what God is saying. Why bother praying over your food? The reason we pray over our food is so that it is blessed, it is sanctified. That's the whole purpose. We take on this human wisdom on board. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear him. So that when you face decisions or when you buy something or whatever it is, you're hearing what he's saying. Whether he's saying yes or no, or not now, or wait, or whatever it is. That's how we should walk with God. You see, saints who have a strong faith with God, they're separated from all of this. They haven't time for it, these things of the world. They're not caught up with it. They're caught up with God. And that's what we should be caught up with, 24/7. We so quickly take our eyes off him because other things become priority. That's why he's working this separation for that very purpose. If we don't allow the Spirit of God to separate us, we will disobey. It's in our nature. Fourthly and finally, you'll know if you're in faith and you hear from God because it's being challenged by Satan and he tries to stop you. So there's the big giveaway. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to avert you. He's trying to get you to compromise. He's trying to get you to listen to that unbelief or the world's logic. If that's happening to you, then that is a clear sign you walk by faith and not by sight. The enemy gives himself away. Why does he attack? Why does he say the things that he does? Because he knows that this word is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing division of soul, spirit, joints, marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows that and believes that probably more than we do. Sadly. And that is why we are a target. That is why he tries to hinder us and to cause us to look away or to avert in a different direction. But God says if our eyes are upon him, we're looking to him, then he places that hedge of protection around us. Read Psalm 91 again. That is your guard, your protection, and everything that pertains in it. In fact, if we're not being tempted in those ways or the enemy getting vocal, then we have to really ask ourselves. You see, the enemy always comes with logic. It's logical. It's feasible. It sounds right. Why not? That's how he comes. You see, what God requires of us and gets us to walk, it can't be done. It's impossible. Every step of faith that we walk, there's always a mountain, an obstacle to overcome. That tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. And only you know that in your life. That is why we wait by faith. That is why we look to Jesus by faith. Everything we say and do is by faith, trusting that God will give me the words, the wisdom. God will deliver me from this hopeless situation. God will raise me up from my sick bed. It just goes on and on and on. That is what he's doing with us in these last days. And as I close, it's for the very purpose and reason, because this world is coming to an end. And we are spiritually building this ark by faith. And we look foolish, we look ridiculous, just like Noah did. And that door still remains open, but one day it will close. And when it closes, then all will be revealed. We will begin to see what our building spiritually was all about. But above all, when that door closes, you will see that God was true to his word, that he didn't lie to you, as the enemy suggests. Hallelujah. Faith has to be revealed and used daily. Father, again, we thank you. You are so gracious and so merciful. You are so long-suffering and patient. Forgive us, Lord, that we doubt you. We disobey you. We want to be in control and do it our way. And we fall flat on our face. Help us, Lord, not to fight against you, to move and walk with you. Father, we thank you that your word, these messages, are so valuable. We are so dependent on hearing you, your word, as you're showing. We are so dependent hearing what the Spirit is saying so that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Father, we thank you that you are ever preserving and you are keeping us. You have a remnant that you are preserving in these last days. And we thank you for that. And none of us want to let you down. You've paid the ultimate price. How could we? Lord, work in and through us for your will and your glory. We know at times it's not always going to be easy. We know at times there can be that struggling, that wrestling. But please do not give up on us. Our heart's desire is to walk totally by faith for your glory in these last days. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Faithful one, so call
The end.